Hey everyone, this is Rob Motti. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Faith on a Field Show. If you want to hear any of our previous episodes, please check out our website, faithonafieldshow.com. You can also subscribe on every major podcast channel like Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean, and TuneIn. Please like, share, and leave a review so others can find out about the show. We appreciate your support, and here is this week's episode presented by Cairn University.
This is Dak Prescott, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University on 610 ESPN Philadelphia and 107.5 Alive. I'm Rob Motti with Remy. Our guest this week is former Jacksonville Jaguars offensive tackle Mo Williams. Maurice is now the team chaplain for the Jags, and he's also involved with Athletes in Action and an awesome campaign they have going on right now. They're dedicating July, this month, this hot month of July, they are dedicating it as Victory Month.
I like that.
Victory. Right? We're tired of losing. We're tired of seeing losses. And I love it. They're dedicating it as Victory Month, but here's what they're doing too. As part of this, they're asking everyone to finish this phrase, hashtag it, tweet about it, post it, talk about it. And if you go on their website, and I'll give you that information a little bit later, you could check it out. But it says, I experience victory beyond competition when. And now fill in the blank.
I love it.
So I know you have a good one.
I do.
I have one. I'm going to start, and I'm going to say this because it was easy for me. I experience victory beyond competition when I lead someone to Christ. Whether it's through my words, my actions, or the way I live my life, or sharing testimony, whether it's in prison, on a trip to with the Deacon's Prison Ministry, playing softball, whenever it may occur, speaking, doing an altar call at the end of a church service, whatever it is, whenever I get to see someone make that life-changing decision to surrender to the Lord, like there's no greater feeling. And I know how I'm passionate about it because I know how turning my life over to Christ tremendously impacted my life. He saved me from me. He steered me away from what was a real self-destructive path of behavior, really promiscuous behavior. It wasn't a drug issue. It wasn't an alcohol issue. It was contained to this pattern of behavior, but it helped turn me into, he helped. I can't say it. It's he. It's all. I always want to point back to him. He turned me into a disciplined, godly man. The disciplined, godly man that he created me to be.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
And then I met you.
Yes.
No coincidence.
It's not.
At all. A few months after that, no coincidence, I met you. And it's been a beautiful, incredible journey. But my mission is to share my story. I always say my story, his glory. And that's the reason why this show was created, and each week we aim to inspire hope through Christ, to encourage our listeners to faith, and to challenge them towards action within their faith. So, again, if the best way I can sum up victory for me, I experience victory beyond competition when I can lead someone to Christ through my words, my actions, or the way I live my life. I feel like that's what it's all about.
Yeah. It really is.
Life isn't, it's not about accumulating stuff. It's not about how much money you have or how fancy you look in your car, in your clothes, in your house. And all that stuff is all secondary. I'm not going to say anything negative about having things and accumulating stuff. And if you put everything in a matter of perspective, but like, what is the important thing?
Right. Well, you know, now more than ever, though, with everything that's happening,
yeah.
I mean, I'll speak for myself. Like, I'm like this crazy shopper, and I love shoes and bags, okay? Like, it's just my thing.
You've been so good about
that. But that's what I'm saying. I've been so good about it, and it's because I think what's going on here, like, it just, not that this made me realize what's happening, but it just made me think of what's really, really important.
Yeah.
And I know shopping sometimes makes me happy, and I love going shopping. And I love this, like, the feeling when you get a new purse or a new shoes, you get, like, this kind of, like, cool high. Like, you're like, ooh, nice. And then now with everything that's going on, you're like looking at your shoe collection, your bag collection, you're like, where am I even going to wear this to? Like, there's nowhere to go. I have nothing to do. And this is just crazy. Like, what am I going to do with all this cool stuff? And it becomes so worthless because, well, everything can be taken away from you in 2 seconds. Yeah. And yeah. It's not really worth anything anymore. It's momentarily happy. Well, like, momentarily makes you happy. But then other than that, you're done.
Before you pat yourself on the back too much for not shopping, you got to remember, you had a very nice distraction for 3.5 months where you were living on the water, on the beach. And all you did every day was go out. All you needed to do was go out to the beach.
But that's what I'm
you
saying.
You had no
but,
opportunity but to
it
shop.
Came
so,
home,
I mean,
but it came
I
home
hope
when
you
I'm
can
saying.
Continue to carry that, which you have
I
been.
I mean,
you
I have. Been. Have you seen
Let me tell everybody,
buy anything?
This lady yesterday made her first trip, and it's not nothing extravagant, but your first trip to Target in 5 months.
Yes.
But usually you go to Target for like really one weird. Or two things, and you come home with like a $300 bill. Not
That's
this
very
time.
True. Not this time. I actually could not stand being in there. It was really strange for me. I just wanted to get out of there.
And the kids wanted a toy for, and we right. I treated them to a toy.
I bought strawberries. That's about it.
I was impressed.
It was very impressive, yeah. I didn't even look at anything else. I was just like, yeah. Okay, I just need strawberries because
no
for some reason they're
stuff
nowhere.
For the house, no little. You're like, no.
I love their decorations, though.
The decorations were good. Yeah. I want to, before we get into yours, I want to talk about because I love when I read something in the Bible, like a passage or a verse that I'm really familiar with, and then suddenly I'm looking at it in a different way.
Yeah.
And we all know the story in the Bible of Jesus feeding the thousands with the fish and the loaf of bread, right? He took the loaves, he gave thanks to God, he distributed them to the people, and I'm reading from John 6:10. And they all ate as much as they wanted. And it says, after everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted. So they picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. And when the people saw him do this miraculous sign, they exclaimed, surely he is the prophet we've been expecting. When Jesus saw that they were ready to force him to be their king, he slipped away into the hills by himself. I want to take a look at this one part in here that I never really looked at it from this perspective before. Because there's a lesson in the leftovers, right?
Yeah.
You go, oh, leftovers.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. You know, there was leftovers, and look how much he fed, and look, there was so much. But if we think about it, God gives us abundance. He gives in abundance.
That's right.
And all we have to do is, see, he takes whatever we can offer him in terms of our time, in terms of our ability, in terms of our resources, and multiplies the effectiveness beyond what our wildest expectation or imagination is. So I feel like I never looked at it from that perspective of, wow, there's a story in the abundance and the leftovers. Mm-hmm. And as it relates to what we're talking about it and what I'm feeling when I say I see victory when I lead people or help lead them to make that life-changing decision to come to Christ. I'm not making the decision for them. I'm not responsible for the decision. The Holy Spirit is the one who's convicting them and making that for them. But you can help lead people to that decision.
Right.
But here's the thing. If we take that first step in becoming available to God, like I took that first step in becoming available to God several years ago. Never had thought about it before. Didn't enter my thought process and decided this is a life of discipleship. So you take that first step, you become available, and then he will show you how great you can be used for the kingdom. So by taking a little step, initially it started when I came to Christ, accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, almost 10 years ago to next month, it'll be 10 years. And then as the journey began and I kept growing and kept growing in my faith and realized, you know, I'm finally a follower of Christ. And then once I joined the ministry team and went out there and played softball in prisons. And the first time I shared testimony and the first time I saw men come to Christ because of hearing me share what happened in my life and how the Lord changed my life, I recognized, like, this is a life of discipleship I want to have, I want to lead. It takes a first step.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we feel like I don't have enough to give. But all it takes is just a little bit, and then God can turn it into something more and something more. So it started there, and it turned into more, and it turned into this radio show, and it turned into me talking about my faith in books. It turned to me talking about my faith on sports talk radio, in different settings, on various platforms, and people reaching out and people sending me messages and people saying, wow, this has really helped me in one way, shape, or form. And he takes something. It took a little bit. I decided one time, all right, I'm going to take one step and I'm going to make myself available in this way. And it kept growing and growing and growing.
Right.
And he kept using me and using me and using me. So I feel like if we offer nothing to God,
mm-hmm.
he'll have nothing to use.
Right.
But if we give what little that we have, he can turn that little into something great. But what we have to do first is make ourselves available.
Right.
And I wasn't available for many years of my life. And then I finally surrendered and then I became available. And if we take that first step and become available, he will continue to use us in a great way to advance the work of the kingdom.
I absolutely love this miracle because I feel like it's a double whammy miracle to me. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like it's a miracle within a miracle. So he fed people.
Yeah.
Right. And then he took the leftover because, see, every little detail in the Bible means a whole lot.
Yeah.
And it's all about the details because the author could have left this out, the whole leftovers miracle, right?
Yeah.
Because leftovers, people always look at leftovers and like, well, it's what's left. Who cares? It's not important.
Yeah, but it wasn't the main course.
It's not the main course. Who cares?
It's tomorrow's lunch.
I'm one of these people that I love leftovers, okay? I live for leftovers because that means I don't have to cook again.
Yeah.
So that's great. So this to me is a double miracle. And he's trying to tell you that everything, after everything said and done, after that you've tried so hard and you failed miserably, whatever is left that you think is not enough, whatever is left that you think is not that great, I will still double it, quadruple it, and I'll make it great. Because the leftovers is what I care about the most. Because people are going to take those leftovers and they're going to take them home and eat them and even feed other people with them. So the miracle is going to continue to go and grow and grow and grow. So God always does. Jesus, when he was here, that was his thing. He always wanted to teach about the little things that people missed.
Yeah.
And that's, to me, is like amazing. And as soon as you said leftovers, I'm like, how many times do we just say, I don't have enough energy anymore to do this. I don't have enough resources to do this anymore. But then the next thing you know, you wake up the next morning and God gives you this like extra grace to do it again or extra push to do it again. Or you get this weird email or you get this guy that you've been talking to, but you didn't think anything's going to happen. And the next thing you know, it lights fire back into your heart again and things start again. It's always in the leftovers. It's always in the leftovers. And that's just one of my favorite miracles. I love it.
I love when you can take a different perspective at a story you've heard. So I've heard that story since I was a kid in school.
Right. Like, yeah. I've heard this story over and over again. Yeah.
And it wasn't really up until recently as I'm looking at it and reading it that the connection was made about the leftovers and how that, you know, that equals, what are we giving the Lord? How much mm-hmm. are we giving him? So sometimes we feel like I don't have all the time in the world to dedicate. I don't have this. I don't have that. Give him a little bit of your time.
Mm-hmm.
See what he can do with it.
Yeah.
And I gave him a little bit. I surrendered and then said, all right, I'm going to look for ways to work in ministry, look for ways to work in the mission field. What can I do? And it kept growing. And the desire kept changing to the point where now when I am asked to complete a sentence, like I experience victory beyond competition when, for me, the ultimate victory is more and more people being brought into the kingdom. More and however it happens, whether
it's just the best.
However you see it, because I know what a life-changing moment that is. I know I see so many people suffering. so many people who have many things going on and they're unhappy and they're constantly looking to find fulfillment in so many other ways. And I want to like show them, lead them. Hey, fulfillment doesn't come from whatever you're doing outside. Fulfillment doesn't come from however much you can make at work and working hard. And it's great to work hard and you should always work hard and do everything you can to provide for your family. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to further your career and do better. Nothing at all wrong with that. But ultimately, real fulfillment comes in knowing the Lord. Peace comes 100%. In knowing the Lord. I want to hear, because you have, when I asked you to complete this sentence and I said, we're going to do this because of our guest this week, Maurice Williams and Athletes in Action and the Victory Beyond Competition campaign they have going on. Boy, you were like that. you had it right there, ready to go.
Did.
So share with everyone how you experienced Victory Beyond Competition.
I experienced Victory Beyond Competition when I realized that the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of God, lives in me and I never have to fight alone. So powerful. That's when I experienced victory.
Powerful.
I just, you know, when you told me that, this is what came into my spirit. Mm-hmm. And it's because I just remember when I was younger and I didn't have the Holy Spirit in my heart yet. I knew God, I knew Jesus, but I just didn't have the Holy Spirit yet. And I just remember being very lonely at all times. I remember I felt like I'm always fighting alone. I was always just, it's me against the world. It was just me, myself, and I against the world. There was no one to turn to. There was no one to help. And the feeling I got as soon as I received the Holy Spirit is that I'm not alone. It was the weirdest feeling. I can't describe it. If you don't have the Holy Spirit in your heart, I don't think you'll understand what I'm saying. But as soon as I received the Holy Spirit, I just felt like there's this companionship that's just always with me. There's a companion always with me. There's someone that is always with me. Sometimes I look crazy probably because I'd be talking to myself, but I'm not talking to myself. I'm literally just talking with the Holy Spirit. Like that's literally what I do all day long. Like if you catch me, in a kitchen cooking or something, my lips are moving because I'm always talking. Like I'm always praying. But in my opinion, I don't call it praying. I'm having a conversation with the Holy Spirit. Like Lini will be looking at me, my daughter, and be like, "Mommy, are you talking to somebody?" I'm like, "No, girl, I'm good. I'm talking. I'm good. I'm just talking to myself." Like, I think I look crazy, but that's why I said that. As soon as you asked me, I felt I felt the victory when I realized the Holy Spirit is in me and I'm not alone. I don't have to fight alone. And that's, wow, what an ultimate victory that is, to just feel like you're not alone. You don't have to fight alone. You don't have to face things alone. You don't have to go out there and deal with things alone.
No.
He's right there to help you. He's right there to encourage you. He's right there to lift you up. I think it's just significant. It's the most significant thing someone could feel, because there's a lot of people out there that just don't feel that way. They feel very lonely. They feel very depressed and don't know what to do. They don't know who to turn to. And I'm telling you, like, that was me. And what I turned to the Holy Spirit. I turned to prayers. I turned to just say, "Hey, help me out. I don't know what to do."
When you don't know who to turn to, sometimes people turn
to the wrong people.
You could turn to the wrong people to find whether you're looking for fulfillment, whether you're looking for validation, whether you're looking for companionship. You may turn to the wrong people
or things,
or you can turn to the wrong things. You could turn to abusing drugs, abusing alcohol. You could even turn to, it doesn't even have to be, it could be turning to food, right? Comfort food, and then you start abusing food. Not necessarily abusing food, but eating bad food, and then it can lead to health issues. So I think there's so much power in what you're saying, because, yeah, you're right. We're never alone, but it takes making that decision for Christ, and it makes having come to that realization that he sent the Holy Spirit to be with us, to be our counselor, to be our guider, to be the one who is always there mm-hmm. in his place. Yeah. And he's there with us. And the Holy Spirit is alive and alive in us. And as we talk about victory, right? Mm-hmm. Victory beyond competition. It reminds me that victory usually is when you see two teams going up against each other. You have a winner, you have a loser. You have a battle. Whatever the battle is, you have a winner, you have a loser.
Yeah.
Well, we're always going to be victorious in our battle if we, as you said, recognize that you have the Holy Spirit with you and you're never going to be alone.
Yeah.
You never have to fight that battle alone. And sometimes it's hard because I know people who have depression. I know people mm-hmm. who have different kinds of issues like that. And you want to like really impress upon them, no, you're not alone. You don't have to feel that way.
And we're not minimizing that.
But you also don't want to shove the Bible down their throat.
No, I'm not that person.
Right? You want to lead them and say, hey, this is how I overcame. This is how I made my decision. This is who I turned to for help. And I hope you can see mm-hmm. in the way I'm experiencing joy, peace, mm-hmm. and happiness the way I live.
The way
and as
I
you
live.
Said, mm-hmm. that I have this incredible sense of peace about me. And that doesn't mean we don't have bad moments. We have bad moments all the time. Doesn't mean we don't have bad days. We have bad days all the time. But I try and feel like within that bad day, it's limited. Let's keep it in perspective. What is my bad day about? I couldn't upload my work email to my cell phone because I got a new one and I'm trying to change. Like, okay,
oh, y'all, so, this has just been a hot mess here.
It was a battle for a day and a half.
I mean, I was happy he got a new phone, but then now, really quick, I realized, oh, this man, he was good with the iPhone 6. He does not need the newest one.
It was an
or
8.
The 8.
Now
okay,
I got
the iPhone
a
8.
One, finally, first time in my life.
You're one of those people that you should be good with an old stuff because, wow, technology in you, man.
But I saw victory. I got my victory.
Hallelujah. I mean, I prayed for you. You don't know. I prayed for you because I was like, Lord Jesus, we cannot handle hearing this man talk about his phone for the next 24 hours.
I need my email. My work email's got to mm-hmm. be on there. Finally figured it out.
Is it fixed?
Out. Yeah, it's good. It's coming through.
Thank God.
I saw my victory. I found out that I wasn't in this battle alone. And
we saw the
victory. I experience victory beyond competition when I can lead anyone to Christ
mm-hmm.
through my words, my actions, and the way I live my life. And you experience victory beyond competition when?
I realize that the Holy Spirit lives in me and I never have to fight alone. Ever again.
Never. Up next, we're going to hear from former Jacksonville Jaguars offensive lineman Maurice Mo Williams. You're listening to Faith on a Field Show presented by Cairn University.
Cairn University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Cairn prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at cairn.edu.
In the valleys,
there was Jesus.
In the shadows of the alleys,
there was Jesus.
In the fire,
welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University, 610 ESPN Philadelphia, 107.5 Alive. Rob Motti with Remy. Our guest this week is Maurice Mo Williams. Mo enjoyed a successful college football career at the University of Michigan and was drafted by the Jacksonville Jaguars in the second round of the 2001 NFL Draft. He started more than 100 games on the offensive line before retiring in 2009. He now serves as the team chaplain through Athletes in Action's professional sports ministry. Mo is a mentor, coach, and missionary. We chatted last week. Here is that conversation.
Mo, thank you for joining us here on Faith on the Field Show. Tell us about Victory Beyond Competition. It's a campaign that's dedicated to sharing how all people, athletes, parents, coaches, fans, can experience victory far beyond wins and losses.
Yeah, definitely. Rob, thank you for having me on the show. And this is a good opportunity. And it's probably timely right now in what we're dealing with in our country. Victory Beyond Competition is a campaign that's been created by Athletes in Action. It's been around for many years. And really right now, we're all trying to figure out how to get back to competition and if there's going to be any sports this fall, especially in the football world. I think it's appropriate to actually talk about this. Victory Beyond Competition is really the song, like, what have you done well outside of the game? What victories have you had outside of just winning just the game itself? And I know for me, there's a lot of different ways that is expressed.
One of the things that you guys are doing with VBC is declaring July Victory Month. I love that because, you know, throughout this whole period of time, throughout this pandemic, I keep seeing a lot of people who are down, depressed, and they're struggling to get what's going on in the world. And I'm reminded of there's a song by Elevation Worship called "See a Victory." I'm going to see a victory, and I'm going to see the victory in the Lord. He's going to turn what's meant for evil into good. And I keep going back to how we will eventually find victory. There will be victory. But in this period of time in our lives, as we're going through this, as we're quarantining, as life is no longer normal, let's look for a better normal. Let's look for a normal where our normal no longer involves devoting all of our time to maybe entertainment and everything else that we were focused on before. And let's shift our eyes and our focus back onto the Lord. So when you say, hey, let's declare July Victory Month, and you look at that campaign and you look at that program, what does victory look like for you? When you say the phrase, I experience victory beyond competition, when, how do you finish that?
I experienced victory beyond competition when I realized that perfection does not equal success. And there's a few different reasons why that phrase stands out for me is that I really felt like to be successful in life that I had to be perfect. And probably from personal experiences and to just playing in the NFL and knowing at the high level that I had to maintain all the time, that I was just working hard just to be perfect every game. I've played almost 10 years in the league, and I never had that perfect game, man. I'll go after it. I came close. There were some games where I probably had 70-plus plays that were excellent, and there was probably 5 plays like, oh, man, the guy got past me a little bit. The guy slipped through and maybe knocked Fred Taylor on his behind in the backfield. But when I realized that I focused more on the negative than on the positive, it was beginning to bring me into this really depression. I really didn't have words to really voice it at the time. But I spent so much time on not all the good that I was actually doing. I was spending so much time on those 5 plays. Like, man, how could I let this guy beat me? Why did I do this? Why did I do this? Because I felt like my perfection was going to help me to maintain a longer career. I felt like that my perfection was going to make me be loved by people more just because I was so successful. And a teammate of mine came along the way, Kyle Brady, and he shared Colossians 3:23 with me. He's like, Mo, this is one of the scriptures that I kind of stand on. And so what I went back and read is Colossians 3:23 said, for whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord, not as unto men, but do it unto God. And that really helped me. It blessed me because it helped me to see that my play, it doesn't have to be pleasing to the fans. It doesn't necessarily have to be pleasing to my coaches. And I'm going to work with excellence in my craft. But my gift and what I do, I was going to now use it as an act of worship, and I was going to play for an audience of one. And it really shifted for me in my career, and it gave me a lot of peace, and it gave me a lot of freedom, because now I didn't have to worry about necessarily having to please the people in the barbershop and not trying to be a part of that conversation, because you know how the barbershop goes. But I was just able to play my tail off. And just because I know I put in excellence, I put in the hard work, recognizing that the man across me might be getting paid more than me as a starting tackle in the NFL. But just really recognizing that it's okay to be me. It's okay to make some mistakes. It's okay to be the authentic me. And as people, even as Christians, one of the things that we feel like we have to be perfect in order to follow God. Some people don't even follow Christ because they feel like they have to be perfect. Okay, well, I'm not ready to be a Christian yet because I'm not ready to walk this perfect road. But you have to understand who Jesus is and what he came to do, because he recognized that we would never be perfect. That's why he died for us. And he was the propitiation for our sins. And so that's what that statement means for me. I received victory once I realized that my perfection didn't equal success. but that I really just embrace the work that Jesus did. That's the most important word.
At what point in your life or in your career did you come to accept the Lord as your Lord and Savior? Was it growing up? Was it when you reached the NFL? Was it that period of time where you got some counseling from maybe Kyle Brady? When did you make that commitment, that part of your life that, hey, man, I'm just going to turn it all over to the Lord?
Yeah, definitely. So I didn't grow up in church. And so my junior year in high school, man, I just had a season where I started having all these questions about God, like if there was a God. What does a relationship with him look like? Does he want to know me? And it was just stirring in my heart. And I remember watching some television programs on BET and just watching the gospel choirs and just being like, man, this thing is awesome. I go back, like he was pricking my heart and bringing my attention towards him. But one of my teammates got saved. I put him on blast now. He's coach over in Tampa, Larry Foote. He got saved. He was a year younger than me, but he came back to the locker room. And I knew how Larry was before Christ, but all of a sudden he came back to the locker room. He was talking about, hey, this is what I'm learning. This is what we learn in the church. And a few of our other teammates, they were just talking all the time. And I was like, and he came and invited me out to church. I was like, yes, let's go. Cause I'm having these questions and I need the answers. And I remember going to service with him, and the church was dynamic. The pastor gave a great message. The worship was awesome. The people gave off a great energy. And so at the end, the pastor gave an invitation for those who wanted to receive Christ. I ran to the altar, man. And that was the beginning of my journey. And but I wouldn't say that wasn't the end of my journey, because I needed to be discipled, because I was soon to be the number one recruit in the state of Michigan, to now be at the University of Michigan, winning national titles, Big Ten championships. And I'm having to grow my faith in an environment where where it can be tough. And but God was faithful to put people in my life, like chaplains from Athletes in Action, to help disciple me along the years. So I really came to a place where I can say, you know what, I get it. And I want to live wholeheartedly for him. Not only do I understand that I'm saved, but I understand that God has a purpose and plan for my life. And that didn't really develop as time went by. But I'm so thankful for God sending the right people to put in my path to help me, encourage me in my faith.
So you go on to the University of Michigan, you end up having a great career there, you're drafted in the second round by the Jacksonville Jaguars, you spend a decade in the NFL, which is not an easy thing to do. We know that's not an easy thing, especially at a position like yours, at a tackle, offensive tackle. You start 100 games, and now you're involved in ministry or chaplain with the team. How did that journey from player back into having some impact and a voice in these men's lives for the next generation of athlete? How did that come about, and how satisfying, rewarding is it to be able to be with the organization, be in Jacksonville, the team that you spent your entire career with, but giving back, helping those men out?
I'm blessed, and I'm honored that God will allow me this opportunity to impact this next generation of athletes. And when I got done playing, I took the first year off just to enjoy family. And but then after that, I knew I wanted to look and explore some other things. One thing is, people say, hey, go after your passions. Well, I was like, man, my most passionate thing right now is Christ. I want to really grow in this thing. And so I joined my church's Bible school, Leadership Training Center at the time. And we did a year and a half of that. And it was during that time that really God started speaking to my heart about sports ministry. And I started doing a few different things there. I started my foundation, was doing camps, held some football camps here locally. This really impacting the next generation. And then the current chaplain for the Jaguars, he's like, hey, man, I think you need to go to this leadership summit that's held in Xenia, Ohio. And it's on the 4th of July weekend. I was like, thanks, AJ, but that's 4th of July, man. But I ended up going, and I had a great time. It was John Townsend, Tony Dungy, and we're some of the personalities that was helping lead this this group that weekend. It was helping out high influencers, people who have been in positions or are in positions of leadership. And they just really poured into us this whole weekend. But I had a chance to really see Athletes in Action at its finest. I had a chance to see their campus. I had a chance to really see how they can really impact this next generation. And I left there, I was like, man, everything that they're doing is what God is speaking to me about. And as far as like going back and just making sure the athletes are using their platforms and all of that. And so to sum it up, I found this organization, Athletes in Action, and I really sensed that God was connecting me with them. And to fast forward to become a chaplain, he had a few different opportunities. I really felt like I was supposed to stay here in Jacksonville. And me and my wife were just building a house. And we knew that God was kind of calling us into ministry a little deeper. And we said, okay, if God is calling to this, we're willing to move. And literally the next day, I get a phone call from Jacksonville. And they're saying that, hey, their position is open up for you to come in as our team chaplain. Would you like to do that? And I was like, man, I would love to be a part of that. And so that's, God's kind of helped orchestrate some of this. Some of this I can't make up on my own. But I'm just thankful that he has allowed me to be in this position to help help these athletes use their platform wisely and to glorify God with it.
I know Nick Foles as a man of strong faith. I covered his career here in Philly, wrote the book about the Eagles winning Super Bowl in which he was the MVP of that game. And then God leads him to Jacksonville for a period of time, for 1 year of his life, and he's got some ups and downs. But I've always recognized that Nick is steady no matter what's going on the field, whether he's having success, whether he's a Super Bowl MVP, or he's losing his starting job. And his influence into that locker room, did you notice that last year? Were you able to spend any time with him and see how he was able to really impart his steady hand and his focus on the word of God through everything? Sometimes he'll do a news conference and it'll be like a sermon within a news conference. And I always appreciated that about him. But what was your experience like with Nick?
Nick was a blessing to the team last year. I think it was an immediate just change in dynamic from the team. It's the difference when it's just a chaplain that's bringing the gospel. But when you have a player, you're starting a quarterback, somebody who's a Super Bowl MVP, it brings a lot of attention to the faith. And I thought he did a good job coming in and just really encouraging the guys to walk in the faith. There were some guys that the year before that I was trying to connect with. Now because of Nick, and Nick was having a conversation with him, it's like, hey, Chad, come over here. We want to talk. And so when I really appreciate his influence that he had in the locker room, and just even how he navigated a difficult season. It wasn't all roses for him when he came here to Jacksonville, but he handled it with character and handled it with poise. But he definitely was a great example for the young players here in our city for our team to how to handle adversity. We talked a lot about handling suffering, and it was just like he was handling moment after moment. But I thought he handled like a champ. And God was able to use his platform, even in suffering, to really bring a lot of attention to the gospel. So for Nick, I know he has a lot of ministry ahead of him. I thought he did an excellent job here in Jacksonville.
I was checking out the website, victorybeyondcompetition.org, and it says on there, God invites us to live above and beyond our circumstances by living for something more important than sport. Sports are a huge business, an entertainment business, multi-billion dollar industry for fans, athletes, owners, everyone involved, the teams. It means a great deal. How do you caution, Mo? How do you caution players to not identify or put their identity into their accomplishments and winning and what they're able to do on the field, and rather identify with the Lord and put their identity and let it rest with Him rather than what they do and how, whether they're winning, losing, and how they're performing?
Good. That's a good question. One of the things when I think about athletes is that, and I think about faith, our faith is eternal. It's going to last for eternity. Our time in sports is temporal, and that our time as athletes is very small lived. Our body can only withstand so much, especially in the game of football. You probably can take it to any sport. You only have a little bit of amount of time. And I think it's important for athletes to not allow their full identity to be in the game that they play. Let it be a part of you. It's okay for it to be a part of you, but don't let it be who you are. And so one of the struggles that players have, and I think it's becoming more well documented, is that the struggle in the transition, the depression issues, the mental issues that we have going on with some of these athletes. And it's part because their identity is ripped away. Because many of them, when they leave the NFL or the NBA, they don't leave on the terms that they wanted to. I know I didn't leave on the terms I wanted to. I wanted at least one more year, and I wanted the Super Bowl. It didn't happen. But you have to, at the end of the day, you have to know who you are. And Christ really helps us with our identity, and he helps us to be a part of a team that's global and that's team that's for eternity. and it's a team that God has a purpose and a plan for you. And so if I'm talking to young athletes, or maybe not as just athletes, whoever listen to this broadcast, like, God has more than you than just your profession. You're more than just the career that you do. You're a husband, you're a father, you're a community leader, you're a philanthropist. There's so much more into you. And so I think that's one of the important messages that we need to have, is that because so many people get caught up in what they do. And we have to make sure that as Christians, that we understand that we are, God is not one dimensional in his thinking.
I love that, because it applies to all of us in every walk of life, whatever you're doing, not just if you're an athlete, but if you're in the business world, whatever profession you're in, it's not about what you do. It's who you are and who you identify with. Mo, we're living through difficult times right now with this pandemic, but also we're seeing racial tensions reach a boiling point where I'm encouraged that people are finally standing up and speaking out against racism. It's important to speak out against it. How do you feel sports can be a unifying force and voice in this throughout this whole process? And there are people who think, well, if you're an athlete, just go ahead and play. But no, they have a platform. These men, these women have a platform out there where they can use it for good. And how do you see that transitioning and happening?
Yeah, definitely. I think athletes do have an amazing platform to reach. I think not just their state and city that they live in, but really across the globe for people who tune into the NFL. And that we have to be wise in how we use our platform. And I think it's important that we understand that. What I love about sports is, and even during my time playing, in our locker room, we had Germans, we had Polynesians, we had Asians. I mean, you think about all the cultural different backgrounds that you have in sports. But we figured it out how to work together and to be on the same page. And I think sports is a beautiful picture of how we can come together and how we can focus on a common goal. And how we can go in the right direction to overcome our cultural differences, but we also embrace our cultural differences. I know one of the things that Jack Del Rio, because when he was here in Jacksonville, because we had so many Polynesians and Samoans on our team, that he actually brought in a little luau. We had the fire dances and stuff, and it was just cool just to see just how their culture, and learn from their culture and learn the different dances. And I was like, man, and really understand what that meant to them. And I think right now, as we are really challenged to figure out, like how do we navigate this uncomfortable time, is that one, we embrace the cultures. And one, we have to have a place of empathy and recognize that we don't understand it all. And one of the things I'm going to live on, I know my experience as an African-American in this country, but that's not enough for me to really speak to all the issues, that I have to go back and read, listen, be willing to talk to people, not only of my color, but of my white brothers, my Jewish brothers, and just to really understand what is really going on in all this this racial mess that we find ourselves in. But we do need voices to speak. We need voices that will speak, one, intelligently, peacefully, and ones that are actually looking to find a solution right now.
Well, Mo, man, I really appreciate you spending some time with us. Some wonderful advice and great, great stuff in there. VictoryBeyondCompetition.org. That's the website everyone can check out. And you guys are going to be doing this campaign throughout the month of July. So I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to seeing it out there on social, promoting it, talking about it. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you for having me on. I really enjoyed the interview. Thank you.
That was former Jacksonville Jaguars offensive lineman and current team chaplain Maurice Mo Williams. Really loved that conversation. Thanks to my man Darren Gray from Athletes in Action and Sonia for all their help. We'll wrap it up next. You're listening to Faith on a Field Show presented by Cairn University.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Cairn University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Cairn is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Cairn is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at cairn.edu/visit.
In the valleys,
there was Jesus.
In the shadows of the alleys,
there was Jesus.
In the fire, in the furnace,
there was Jesus.
Oh.
presented by Karen University, 610 ESPN Philadelphia on 107.5 Alive. Rob Motti with Remy. If you missed any of our past episodes, go to faithonafieldshow.com. You can find every show and listen anytime at your convenience. We're also on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, as well as iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Faith on the Field. Sign up for our weekly email list and get our weekly episode delivered right there to your inbox. We love to read your messages. Keep on sending those. We appreciate everything you say to us, sharing out our episodes, telling anyone and everyone about Faith on the Field. We're looking forward to making some huge announcements coming up soon as well. Make sure you also follow us on all our social media platforms. I'm at Rob Motti on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, at Real Rob Motti on Instagram. Remy is at Remy Motti. Kyle's at Kyle J. Horner. We'll let you know about speaking appearances and other events that we're hosting. You can also go to my YouTube channel and listen to some of my recent messages. I want to take a minute to thank all of our wonderful, awesome sponsors. Please check them out on our website, Karen University, Heritage's Dairy Stores, Oliver Heating and Cooling, Rick Santella, Senior Vice President at Morgan Stanley, Shady Maple, Weather Trends 360, and California Closets. That's it for this week. Thank you to Maurice Mo Williams for joining us. Big thanks to Doug Horton, our EVP of Business Operations, for all of his great work. Big thanks also to Pastor Scott Foreman for excellent work he does with our website and podcast. And thank you to our producer, Ryan Lennox. Thank you also to 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, Enjoy FM Sports for airing Faith on the Field, presented by Karen University. For Remy and Kyle, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.